I'm talking to Elizabeth Karlikowski today about a wonderful organization in Kalamazoo that does a great deal for poetry in this very literary town, promoting it, publishing books. Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about the history of Friends of Poetry. How did it all get started?
It all started with one woman named Martha Moffett, who in New York during the bicentennial summer saw poems on buses. And she came back home, put together a bunch of people, mostly who worked for Pfizer or Upjohn at the time, and they started Friends of Poetry and ran a contest for kids. And that was 39 years ago. So we've been doing real well to keep going all these years. And we have one of the original members is still with us.
And how many members are there? How big of a group is
this? There's the board, which is about 11 or 12 people, and then we have other people who are members, financial members, and then we have a bunch of members on Facebook.
And you have something to do with all those beautiful murals that we see here and there across town?
That was one of our big projects in the 80s and 90s, was to put poems not on buses because we didn't feel we were getting as much readership as we wanted. So we thought we'd put them in more public places. So with Conrad Kaufman, we did 8 murals in downtown Kalamazoo, and one is gone completely, but 6 remain intact, and then one has been reduced to a very small size by Conrad, who just wanted a remnant of it there, which is kind of cool. It's by the Arcadia Festival site.
And what is your role in this organization?
Well, my role, I'm the president, and I've been the president for the most part for the last 20 years or so. And I feel like I try to get other people involved, but I'm also an idea person. Like, I was looking at this blank wall when I was doing yoga downtown and thought, we should have a mural there. And so that's how that started. And Artifactory, which is our annual program with the museum, that's one of my favorite words I ever made up, but I thought it would be really fun if people wrote poems about stuff that was in the museum, and then the curator, Tom Dietz, would talk about them. And when I approached him with that idea, he loved it. He still loves it. Even though he's retired, he's still going to keep doing it. So we're really happy with that collaboration.
How long have you been doing Artifactory?
Oh, I was afraid you'd ask that. I think this is 9 or 10 years.
Oh, nice history.
It is. And what's really great about it is it brings people who write to learn about history, and it brings an audience of people who love history who accidentally hear poetry. And so we are both very happy with the collaboration.
Now, this one coming up in March?
It's in February 22nd. Yes, February 22nd at 1:30 at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum. It's free, as all our events are, and there's a little booklet that goes with it, so you get a keepsake of poems by some very well-known writers in Kalamazoo. I tell you exactly who, but I'm getting the information from him today, so I don't know who's in it for sure.
And it's a collision between poetry and artifacts.
It is.
That's a wonderful way to put it.
And actually, can I say one more thing? One of our board members, Nancy Haskell, who's a high school teacher in Allegan, wrote a little grant, and I went out there and talked about poetry and writing. And then later in the week, she brought two of her classes to the museum, and they spent the morning there and ate lunch there, and Tom Dietz talked to them, and I worked with them writing, and they went around. And so we have like a record number of poems submitted for Artifactory this year. I'm very happy to see students involved.
So there is some kind of age guideline, or there is none?
There is none, and I made a point of sending all the poems to Tom Dietz anonymously, so he doesn't know who's in high school and who's me, for example, and we'll see who gets selected.
And what kind of artifacts typically get written about?
Oh, all different kinds of things. I wrote about the mastodon bones last year. People have written about celery, of course, old radios. There's Lady Justice, which is a big statue with a sword. I wrote about that this year. And right next to her is like the 1-hour valet neon sign. So I was thinking if they had a relationship when the library or when the museum was closed, it would be great. So
kind of like that movie, The Night at the Museum.
Exactly, exactly. But a lot of the students wrote really interesting poems about boats and kayaks and They have some jarts, if you remember the original jarts that had the pointy metallic end that you could kill things with. They have some of those at the museum. Those were popular.
Are there prizes associated with this?
No.
Just a reading and everybody reading, comes together.
You get published. People go, oh, that's great. And you feel good about yourself. And, you know, at some point that has to be enough.
And where can you get the, there's a chapbook that comes out of
there
this?
There is a little book. We have only handed them out at the reading. But, you know, I was thinking maybe I'd take some to Michigan News.
Yeah, yeah. Sell them for people who maybe can't make the event.
Mm-hmm.
So why is poetry important, Elizabeth? What is it that poetry offers us that, say, a fiction novel or a movie or what is it that it offers?
Oh, well, now that you put those parameters on it, I can't answer the question. Poetry is short for the most part. So reading a poem, for me, I get an emotional or psychological payoff without having to invest 8 or 10 hours, no offense to long writers. I just feel like, especially in our time when the days or the moments in the day are so limited, that to be able to read something and go bang and just get it right away is, for me, wonderful. As a reader, as a writer, and I think it's true for all writing, that you want to understand what is going on around you, and that is the whole point of writing, is to try and make sense of this crazy world.
So it captures an image or a passing emotion.
Mm-hmm. Or a thought, and then tries to send it to someone else.
All right. And other friends projects. You have a relatively new, I believe, a press that you've put together.
Well, we are doing Celery City chapbooks. We had our first contest. It's a very nominal fee to enter, and we did like categories because we wanted to help encourage people who live in Kalamazoo County. So we had a Kalamazoo County winner, and then we had a statewide winner. And so that's how we want to do things. And we're going to be doing a reading with those winners and the honorable mentions on March 24th at the downtown library. And the books will be available then. Nicole Burchett, who is the Kalamazoo winner, her book, Bone Totems, is already available at Michigan News.
That's wonderful. All right. And you also have, but although I understand that's not part of Friends, a collaboration with the Home Show. Tell us about the Home Show and what that collaboration is.
The Home Show, all of these events overlap each other with the people involved. But the Home Show was started by Mindy Bagnell about a year ago, and she gathered together 40 writers and artists to consider the idea of home and respond to that with art. So people wrote. People wrote and did art. Some people just did visual art. And that's all coming to a head soon. I mean, the show is up now in the Richmond Gallery. And there's a reading February 19th at 5:30 in the Richmond, RCVA, Richmond Center for Visual Arts.
All right. And do you have projects that are coming up in the future?
Well, we've just opened the contest, the Poems That Ate Our Ears contest, and we've sent publicity information to over 400 schools in many districts.
Michigan schools?
Michigan schools. I've put the rules online on our Facebook page, so you can access them there. Anybody, any child, kindergarten through 12th grade, is allowed to enter. They don't have to live in the school district or anything. One year we had people from Switzerland. It was very exciting. So anybody can enter. And for that, the kids, again, there's a public reading and awards ceremony. The winners read, the honorable mentions read. Everybody gets a copy of the book we put together. And we name a Martha Moffett winner in each category. And they will either win a gift certificate, or sometimes we put their poems on bookmarks that we use for publicity. So we just try to keep people interested in writing.
And some of these, do they still show up as murals?
No, the mural project made everything else that we were doing prohibitive because of the cost of the murals. So we really couldn't do anything else. So I think branching out into doing the books and booklets and that kind of thing is a better use of our funds. Although I love the murals.
Now, you were a professor at Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek and recently retired, is that correct?
I did.
And so does that mean that we can expect 10 times the books that come from your pen?
Well, I'm working pretty hard.
Well, tell us what you're working
on. Well, I've been working on a series of poems called Suburban Garnishes about things that, like, I don't maybe love. Like, I don't believe that houses want to wear bows in the winter. So I wrote about that. I wrote about the pink dumpsters because I don't see how they fight breast cancer. And I've had breast cancer people say, I don't get it either. So, you know, things like that, flagpoles, the cement goose has a lot to say. So I'm doing that and it's a lot of fun. And then I'm making visual art. I have a piece at the Carnegie now in the regional show, and it's really fun being retired. I feel like I'm 12 again, and everything is in front of me.
That's wonderful to look forward to.
It is.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Appreciate you coming in to speak with us.
Thanks.